We're going to continue our study this morning in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 6. Seems like we've been in chapter 6 a long time, but we're going to get out of there one of these days. We got several families out, I noticed, this morning, so pray for them. I hope the sickness didn't go around a bunch. I know it has been over there in our neck of the woods, as they say. Been a lot of sickness, but we pray that they are all okay. We're going to look this morning at Luke chapter 6, verse 37 through 42. If you'll follow along as I read, please. Luke 6, beginning in verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this sermon that Christ preached and that Luke has written and recorded and penned under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit to teach us of you. Lord, give us ears this morning to hear your voice as you speak to us individually, because you know each one of us as fully as we can be known. You love us and you know what we need. And I pray, Father, that we will humbly listen and willingly follow you. Thank you for your presence here this morning. For your grace, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, as we said, this is a sermon that Christ preaches. We've kind of jumped in here in the middle. We've been going through it, of course, as we've studied this, and it started back with the, as they called the Beatitudes earlier in the chapter, and then Jesus makes these statements that are so far beyond any concept of right than anybody had ever experienced or heard, when he said to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. And of course, we looked at that the Sunday before last when I was here, and we read through that passage and talked about Jesus calling us to a lifestyle that's right in the middle of everything in this world, but going the opposite direction. And that's what Christianity is. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's right here, right now, completely opposite of the world, of that mindset and mentality and rule of thought that rules all the world around us, all of the darkness, all of those who are outside of Christ. And Jesus has a habit of, in his teaching, of saying something one way, and then he turns around and kind of says the same thing again, but from a different perspective or from a different view, just driving home his point. And he made the statement in that passage that I was referring to that we looked at a couple weeks ago. We called it the golden rule. But he said, just as you want men, in verse 31, just as you want men to do to you, just as you want others to do to you, you also do to them likewise. And then he goes on and points out the reward of living a life as God's child that's in his image, that's in his likeness, being like our Father, which is completely contrary to everything going on around us. This following Christ and loving our enemies, in doing good, in praying for those who misuse us, in living a life that's not me first. And then Jesus, I think, just kind of goes about saying and making the same point again, as I said, from a different perspective. Judge not, and you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. I think it's the same point he's just got done making. Literally what he's saying, you don't want to be judged, so don't judge. You don't want to be condemned, so don't condemn. You want to be forgiven, so forgive. Jesus has made it clear throughout his teachings in all of four of the Gospels. We don't forgive to get forgiven. We forgive because we are forgiven. If Christ has forgiven you or has forgiven me, and he has, if we said yes to him, if we put our faith in him, if he's our Savior and our Lord, we are forgiven. And because of that, he makes it clear we are given no other choice but to forgive. He says, judge not. You don't want to be judged. Judging and condemning and unforgiveness, they're just kind of a flow of process that happens. Really easy to, without even paying attention, to judge. To look at someone and to judge. We were eating yesterday. We spent some time with Mark and Hannah and our three grandchildren. And we were eating in a Chick-fil-A. And this fella came by us. We were out in Turkey Creek, Farragut area. You know, kind of a nice area of town and all. And this fella went by and he had on a T-shirt. It didn't have any holes in it, but he'd had it for a while. And he had on a pair of jeans that were the same way. And he come dashing by us and was headed to the front, you know, and I kind of noticed him, you know. And like I said, you don't really even catch yourself. I wasn't putting him down, but I thought, you know. And then my son-in-law bumps me, Mark does, and he said, you see that guy? I said, yeah. He said, he's a surgeon. He said he was in our Sunday school class at their church that they attend. So, you know, he didn't look like what you think was going to show up in the operating room. But nonetheless, that's what he was. Kind of like a joke I heard about this lady that stole a can of peaches. She shoplifted and she wound up in front of the judge. And the judge was kind of scolding her about it, and he was going to hand out her punishment. And he said, what'd you steal? She said, a can of peaches. He said, how many were in it? She said, six. He said, okay, six nights in jail. Her husband stood up on the front door and said, Your Honor, can I say something? He said, yes, go ahead. She said, she also stole a can of peaches. I mean, a can of peas. Well, judge not. Judge not, lest you be judged. Jesus is calling us to follow him. And to follow him is to become like him. It's to become like our Father. That's what he said in the end of that passage the week before. He said, love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be. It will be evident that you are sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. You see, Jesus calls to follow him, calls us to follow him, and in following him, we get the reward. We are blessed. That's what he says in verse 38. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will men give in or put into your bosom. In other words, live my way and you'll find it's the best way. Give, not take. And it shall be given. It will be evident whose your Father is, who your Lord is, who you're following. Because he says, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Have a generous heart. Have a merciful heart. Have a heart that doesn't judge and doesn't condemn and that forgives. And Jesus says, you will have much more given to you. The same way that we live is usually what we experience coming back. Now, I'm not talking about a fairy tale where, you know, you trust Jesus and live happily ever after. We all know that's Mother Goose. That's not the gospel. But we are promised as believers, as followers of Christ, as those who are recipients of the gift of God of eternal life, we are promised it is going to get better. We are promised a reward that is beyond our imagination. That's beyond description. However difficult it is here. And you know, when someone's suffering, when a believer is suffering or grieving or whatever, that's probably not the time, you know, to try to make that point necessarily. But it stands truth still the same. It is going to get better if you belong Jesus. So he invites us. He reminds us, live with an open hand. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And that's in the context of living a loving life. Not judging, not condemning, forgiving. Then he goes on in verse 39. He spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? It's a kind of a one-sentence parable, but it has a real strong point. Where do you think everyone in the world outside of Jesus is going? And if they're going to the ditch because they're blind, why follow? But that's exactly what happened. Everybody that's not following Jesus is, as he says, blind. Me first, people, those who forget or refuse to admit that they are every bit as much a sinner as those they judge and condemn and will not forgive. Those kind of people wind up in the ditch. Always, that's what Jesus said. Can the blind lead the blind? Won't they both fall into the ditch? And the obvious answer is yes. They're going to fall in the ditch. Everyone in the world without Jesus winds up in the ditch. That me first lifestyle always ends up costing more than it gains, more than it pays. So Jesus encourages us to live his way. And in the measure that we use living his way, in that generous heart of faith, that loving grace that we extend to everyone around us, that being willing to forgive each other, our family, our friends, our neighbors, church members, that being willing to forgive, that living with a forgiving heart that always has an open door to those who would return, to those who would be reconciled. He promises us it will be measured to you again. Not maybe. You can count on it. That is the heart of God towards you and towards me. When we follow him. When we are willing to live in that way. Verse 40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. You see, Jesus, as I've said many times, his call to us is not get religious. It's follow me. That's always been his call. Follow me. It's a call of a master to a disciple. And he said, the disciple's not above his teacher, but someone who is perfectly trained, someone who has a mature disciple, will be like his teacher. That's what Jesus called us to. That's what he called you and I to. When we said yes to Jesus, when we were born again, when we were baptized into the body of Christ, we set out on a journey. We became disciples. You see, part of the problem that some people experience or that they cause and bring upon themselves is when they come to Jesus, they're coming not because they want to be intimate friends with the Lord Jesus Christ. They just want a get out of hell free card. They just don't want eternal punishment. And now that's certainly a good reason to come to Jesus, without doubt. And Jesus will meet you there because he did die. He is the only begotten Son of God that God gave so that those who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. But his heart, his intention is friendship. You know, whenever you meet someone and they impress you and you decide, I'd kind of really like to get to know them. I'd like to be friends with that person. I'd like to do things with them. So you put some effort into getting to know them, and hopefully at some point in your life you've had a best friend, a real best friend. And you experience the benefits and the blessing of that. And you got to know them, and you got to know them well. You knew how they thought about things. You knew how they would probably act in certain situations because your friendship had gotten that deep, that rich. And it's a wonderful thing. And they began to have some influence in your life, and some things about them maybe started to show up in your life. Well, that's what Jesus has called us to, is being friends with God. You know, that's what Abraham is called, the father of the faithful. He's called the friend of God. I kind of think that probably is what you could describe Enoch as. Remember, Enoch didn't die. He just was not. One day he was, and then he was not. God had taken him. I think he and God were such friends. They had such friendship and fellowship that one day, as some people say, one day they were out walking, and God said, "We're closer to my house than yours. Let's just go to my house." That's what Christ calls us to. That's what discipleship is. It's growing in Christ. It's following him. I mean, that's what we're talking about in our Sunday school class. And what we were talking about this morning, how everything in our life, everything we experience, all of our circumstances, even all of our mistakes, Christ is present. If we're his, if we're a child of God, he walks with us. And by his grace, he redeems, or he brings value into whatever we experience and whatever goes on in our lives, even, as I said, our mistakes, because there we learn more about ourselves and about him and who he is and how much he loves us and how he enables us to live this life he calls us to, without judgment, without condemnation. Let me tell you, it takes a lot less effort to live that way than it does going around judging and condemning, putting people down and deciding what's wrong with them. And that's what he goes on to talk about, because that's where that life will lead you. You're running around trying to get the speck out of your brother's eye. We go along pointing out this and that and the other about this and that and the other person. We judge and we condemn, and if we stay in that way very long, we get into a place even of unforgiveness and bitterness. And as I said earlier about the blind, we fail to remember or recognize or admit that there really is no difference between all of us or any of us, because we all, as the Bible says, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you stay on that track, it's just the blind leading the blind, and it winds up in the ditch. So Jesus says, don't be a hypocrite. Get the plank out of the way. I thought about, if I'd had a little better week this past week, I might have done it. I thought about getting me a 2x6 or 2x8, about 2 foot long, and making me a hat so I could hang it on my head and be across the front of my eyes, and then ask you if I could get the speck out of your eye with that plank in front of my face, just to drive the point home. Jesus said, remove the plank. Remember. I think that's why Paul teaches us in his letters, remember where you came from. Remember that you were outside looking in. You were outside of the family of God. You were judged. You were condemned. You were not yet forgiven. And it was all true. It was all accurate, and it was all just, because we're sinners. But when we saw, when we heard, when we believed in Jesus Christ, our sins were washed away. Our punishment was taken. He took it in our place. And the judgment was lifted. And the condemnation was washed away. And we were forgiven. We do well to remember that. That kind of keeps the plank out of the way, where we can grow, where we can follow Jesus. I believe the best way to get the speck out of our brother's eye works the way Jesus told us in that passage before this one. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. The way you know in your heart that you want and would like to be treated, even when you were really guilty. That is the way to treat others. That's the way to show who your Father is. That's the way to say, that's what Jesus did for me. And that's what he'll do for you. Our life itself can become a witness, because God, as Jesus said, is kind to the unthankful and the evil. And so he called us to be merciful, just as our Father is merciful. Now, I know none of us get an A at this, me included, and especially. But I tell you, the solution is not keeping our attention and focus on everybody else's speck. The solution is coming to our Father, who is merciful. Coming to Jesus, who is gracious, with our planks. Letting his mercy heal us, forgive us, deliver us, liberate us, and fill us, as Romans 5 says, with his love, by the Holy Spirit in our heart, so that we can genuinely live free. The because those who are free can genuinely love without judgment, without condemnation, and without getting caught in the trap of unforgiveness. That's how Jesus lived, isn't it? That's exactly the way that he walked this earth. And he calls us to follow him. So that means that's the life he's prepared for you and for me. And it works best in that friendship, that discipleship that is intimate friendship with God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for this passage of Scripture and this sermon that Christ preached. And Father, we recognize this is right. And we agree that you are right in saying this, Lord. We also recognize what a challenge it is to us to live that way. So, Lord, we pray that we will, even this week, this very day, lean on you, lean into you, that you would live your life, this life you've described in us, and that it'll be evident and obvious to those around us that you are our Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.